give the world a smile each day.
Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Wednesday to you. And hey, you know what that means. It's church tonight. And we look forward to our midweek service here at Bible Baptist Church. And always a great time. Just always what we need right in the middle of the week. A good shot in the arm. And always a great crowd on Wednesday night. We have children's clubs that meet. And of course, a nursery. And the teens and adults all meet in the auditorium. And we have wonderful music and a missionary letter that's read every week, and then a prayer guide we have that help us with our prayer requests, and then of course a study of God's word, and just a great time in the middle of the week. If you don't have a place to go, come on out and join us. We'd love to have you. If you have a church home, you be there, you be in your place, and you go expecting God to speak to your heart and for you to be a blessing to your church and to your pastor. And we look forward to a good midweek service tonight here at 7 o'clock at Bible Baptist Church. Now, if your Bible's close by, I want you to go over to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. Beginning in verse number 13, we read this. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time out of the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men brake through the hosts of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. I want to talk a little bit about these mighty men of David. Some great men in the Bible. Abraham was called the friend of God. And Abraham had 318 trained servants, trained soldiers, if you will. When Lot was taken, he got those 318 men and pursued after him and brought him back. After Saul was anointed king of Israel, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 10 that Saul went home to Gibeah, and now listen, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Now David, the sweet psalmist and the king of Israel, had what the Bible calls his mighty men. They're called that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times here in 2 Samuel. So there's no doubt of their love and their loyalty to King David. Now, they were known for some pretty outstanding physical exploits, but they weren't simply mighty because of their physical abilities. They heard David say how much he would love a drink from the water of the well in Bethlehem. One problem, Bethlehem is occupied by the Philistine army. But they took off, got through the Philistines, got to the well, took the water, and returned it to King David. And just an amazing thing that they did there. But what do we draw from that? Why did the Lord put this in there for us to know? Can you be a mighty man, a mighty woman for our King? Can we be considered mighty men and women for King Jesus? I believe they were mighty, not just for their physical ability. I believe they were mighty because, number one, I think they were close. They were close enough to hear David's whispered words. David simply had a craving. "Oh, that I'd like some of that water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Now, David's hiding in the cave of Adullam, which isn't too far off from Bethlehem. And this took place shortly after he was made king in Hebron and the Philistines attacked. It's harvest time. It means that there had been no rain, the cisterns were empty, no waters would be available in the cave, and he remembers that water he drank as a boy from the well in Bethlehem. And David just kind of said it to himself, didn't issue an order on the matter. But these men were close enough to hear David whisper it to himself. They were close enough to know David's desires. Oh, is that a lesson for us in our relationship to our King Jesus? If I want to be a mighty man, or you want to be a mighty man of the kingdom or a mighty woman of the kingdom, you need to be close enough to our King to know his desires and to hear his words. Those Christians who are most effective soldiers for Christ are the ones who form the closest relationship with their Lord. God's greatest desire is to be known. In Hosea 6:6, God says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Paul said, I give up everything, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. These three mighty men too would count all things but loss for making King David their priority. And would we do that to make God our priority? Do you desire to develop the close, intimate relationship with your God? Now, the only way to do that is to spend time with Him, by talking to Him and Him talking to you. You get to know someone by working with them. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. As we take the yoke and we serve with Christ and we work with Him and we learn of Him, is it your passion to be as close to God as possible? That's what God desires. You know, the amazing thing is, and think about this, each of us is as close to God as we want to be. I just don't feel God's very close to me. Well, that's not God's fault, my friend. That's all in our control. We're as close to God as you want to be. So they were close. I think they were mighty because they were consecrated. They were consecrated. They were committed enough to take David's wish as their command. Their service to David, the service to their king, was not just lip service. They didn't need a command. They didn't have to be told. They didn't even need much encouragement. Just the knowledge that their king wanted something. And they were so committed and enthusiastic in their service to David, they jumped to their feet and marched off to battle. His wish was their command. Today, God's kingdom desperately needs Christians with that sort of zeal and that sort of commitment and surrender to God. Confucius said, wherever you go, go with your whole heart. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That kind of attitude is displayed here. I'm sure that others would have witnessed these men and called them fanatics or extremists, but that didn't bother them one bit. They were willing to risk anything and risk it all, even though they would be called religious fanatics. Paul was one of these consecrated followers of Christ. Paul gave up prestige and position and I'm sure wealth and fame to become a nobody, to become what he would call the off-scouring of the earth. He decided he wouldn't have a family. He'd lived a missionary life. You read about it in 2 Corinthians. He suffered hunger and thirst and cold and shipwreck and snake bite and stoning and imprisonment and slander and public whippings and eventually a martyr's death. What? To win Christ? I love the spirit of the builders of the cathedral in Seville, Spain in 1401. They said, quote, let us build here a church so great that those who come after us will think us mad ever to have dreamed of it, end quote. And if we're going to build churches, not buildings, churches for God in our community, then we need a bit of that mad dreaming. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, every great and commanding movement in the annals of the world is a triumph of enthusiasm. Nothing great was ever accomplished without it. Another person said, the worst bankruptcy in the world is the man who's lost his enthusiasm. Man, they were consecrated to God and said, whatever you want me to do, God, I'm willing to do. If I just know you'd like to have it, I'm on it. The Bible says it's good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. Let the world call you a fanatic. Let them call you a religious nut. But you'll be a mighty man and woman for God. These three servants of David were mighty men because they were close. They were consecrated, and they were courageous. The Philistines had established a permanent installation there within the city of Bethlehem. The fact they conquered that city in the first place demonstrated the military power of their army. But in spite of the danger and the consequences, they traveled the 12 miles, got through the enemy lines, and came back with the water. They were risking life and limb to please their king. They put their lives on the line to be in obedience to their Lord. Oh, that we would show that kind of courage in serving God. Courage with heroism. Firefighters who run into burning buildings. Soldiers preparing for battle. Police arresting an armed criminal. We think of courage as something extraordinary or something unusual. That's something people are only called upon to exhibit in dangerous, life-threatening situations. And so we think most of the time we don't need it. But courage, my friend, for the Christian, is an everyday necessity. At that point, listen, courage is not just for extreme situations. Courage is basic to the exercise of every other virtue. The dictionary says courage is a state or quality of mind or spirit that enables one to face danger, fear, or sudden change in life with self-possession, confidence, and resolution. Mark Twain probably said it best when he said courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. Courage is required of God's people every day. It takes courage to be honest all the time. It takes courage to state the truth clearly and completely. A lack of diligence can sometimes be due to a fear of failure. An unwillingness to share your faith and witness for Christ is usually a fear of rejection. A refusal to serve others or help others was a fear of being taken advantage of or exploited. Courage is foundational to virtually every other virtue. And you're not going to mature in Christ without courage. That's why I would tell Joshua time and time again, be strong and have a good courage. These men were mighty. Mighty because they were close enough to hear the whispered words of the king, committed enough to take his word as their command, and courageous enough to obey it at any cost. What's special about this story, though, is how it ends. No matter what the Lord put in David's hand, he used it to honor God and his people. Whether it was a sling, a sword, a harp, a scepter, or even a cup of water, this would be no exception. When David looked into the cup, he didn't see water. He saw the blood of the three men who had risked their lives to satisfy his desire. To drink that water would demean all his men and cheapen the brave deed of the three heroes. Instead, David turned the cave into a temple, and he poured the water out as a drink offering to the Lord. It was an act of dedication that symbolized a person's life poured out in service for God, as those men had given themselves as a sacrifice to the Lord to serve David. Let me ask you, friend, are you willing to pour yourself out in service for our King? Christ does not ask anything of us that he has not already done himself. He gave himself as a sacrifice for us, a drink offering, if you will, for the sins of the world. He paid the ultimate price, and because of that sacrifice, salvation is offered to you and me today. And I don't know about you, but I want to draw close to the Lord. I want to be close to him. I want to live a consecrated and a courageous life for Jesus Christ. Why don't you ask God to make me a mighty man for you. Make me a mighty woman for your glory and your honor. David's mighty man. May you and I be mighty men for our Lord. Well, I hope that's helped you today. That sure has encouraged me and challenged me to be a mighty man of God and to be like these men who God gave to David. And that's what we need in this day and age in our country. We need men and women to stand up for Jesus. And I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll look forward to seeing some of you in our church service tonight. And the rest of you, we can come back for our broadcast tomorrow. Remember to send us any prayer requests or blessings you might have. And again, you can listen to these broadcasts on our website and pick up any broadcasts you might have missed, or also on iTunes or iHeartRadio as a podcast. And thanks again for those of you who listen faithfully to Words to Encourage Radio. We appreciate you. Have a great Wednesday, everyone. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service, and on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We also host the RU Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people in our community. We meet every Friday at 7 o'clock in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.